I'd like us to delve into a subject, a topic. I think it's going to take 2 weeks to tackle this one because it's going to carry over into another issue that I'd like to tackle next week. Yes, thank you. Thank you. See, soft. That's how you do it. Soft. Thanks for not throwing the Snapple. That would have hurt. Probably would have dropped it. He would have just cleaned it up. You've heard the phrase, in the world, but not of the world. We as Christians are called to be in the world, but not of the world. In fact, and there is a hearty amen to that. I want us to just really tackle that and what that really means. It used to be really popular to have a Christian fish on your bumper, right? That used to be the popular thing. And I say used to be, and I mean really it used to be. In fact, you don't see very many of them anymore. But there is a sticker that people put on their windows nowadays. What is it?
Not of this world.
Not of this world. In fact, if you haven't seen it, if you don't identify it to what it is, it's kind of it's encrypted a little bit. You know.
On my car.
Yeah, Brian's got one on his car. So therefore, he is a Christian, right?
I just know that I thought that meant the way you were driving.
No, that's me. That's me. Dang it, now I gotta come clean. Yesterday I was driving and I was going about doing God's work though. I was doing the Lord's work. I was actually ministering and helping somebody and installing a washing machine for him and I was just rolling around down Sierra College, and sure enough, as I roll by Brian's house, I get a phone call. I'm like, I'm not answering it. I'm not answering. I'm driving. I don't have my earpiece in. I'm not going to answer it because that would be illegal. And it'd be against the law. And it's like a $1,500 fine if me as a truck driver with this Class A license gets pulled over for talking on the cell phone. It's a lot of money. It's like, forget it. I'm not going to do it. So I'm just rolling along, boop, 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 just jamming through, coming to town. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm like, oh, there's that time frame of, the light turned yellow, and it's like, man, I could slam on my brakes, and everything in my truck's going to get all, or I just roll through it. Man, it was a little bit farther than I thought. Oh, just a little bit farther. Man, and sure enough, I get to it, and I roll through, and it was totally red. Totally red. And sure enough, there's Brian, like, two cars behind me. That was a red light. It's like, damn, damn. Man, busted. I almost texted back, but I was driving. Well, at least I'm not texting and driving. But then I would have texted and driven, so I couldn't have done that.
But obviously,
He was. I had to laugh a little bit because here I emphasize a whole lot of stuff. And you know what? The very next light I came to, it did the same thing. But man, I nailed those brakes. I ain't going to go. I'm going to get me twice. No way. Yeah. And then I looked in my mirror. I was like, oh, man, somebody's going to hit me. Every time I do that, I get afraid somebody's going to rear-end me. Because it's like, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm not going to have time to finish telling these stories. In the world, but not of the world. Stickers on our cars. Not of this world. I'm going to go to, because Jesus actually dealt with this issue. And I want us to actually, I feel like if we can develop a right mindset, we can actually know what that really means and actually live that out. Because I think that there's three elements of that we look at, and I think there's three perspectives that we as Christians take in that are not complete. They're incomplete. They're not spirit-led, spirit-filled walking. And I want us to deal with those because you might find yourself falling into one of those at one time or another. So let's go to John chapter 17, starting in verse 14. And we'll hit it right on as Jesus actually advocated this very thought, this theme, this principle in a prayer that he's praying for us as his disciples. He says this, and starting in verse 14 of chapter 17, he says, I have given them your word. Hold on a second. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have also sent you into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus referenced, he actually a couple of times, not of this world. So yeah, you could say that that bumper sticker is valid. It's a biblical bumper sticker, right? Yes. He says that the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. So therefore, again, you know, Jesus in verse 16, he says that, that was in verse 14 and 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we can agree that Jesus is advocating us to be not of the world, correct? Correct, right? But there's something with this that's a little bit problem when we say the phrase, in the world but not of the world. And I want us to just dissect that for a second. You may not have thought about it too deeply, but because it's like, oh, that sounds really good. And it's, yeah, that's what we are. We're called to be in the world but not of the world. The problem with it is that that's not exactly how Jesus phrases that. That's not how he says it. Because when we say in the world but not of the world, it makes it sound like our starting point is in the world and our mission is to be not of the world. You guys get that and follow that when we say that, but what is Jesus advocating in this prayer for us is that our starting point is of the world and our mission is to do what? Go into the world. Do you hear that? Do you see that? He says that. In fact, he even says it, my prayer for them is that you don't take them out, but instead that you send them in. You send them in as light and salt. That's really cool. That gives me a whole nother perspective, doesn't it? It gives me one to where I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is exciting. Because, you know, if he just saved me just to save me, just to deliver me out of, just for the sake of myself, which that's what I'm going to get into next week, is what is our purpose here? Why are we doing this thing? Why are there, and so I want to get into that, but He didn't save me just to save me so that to remove me so that I can be removed from the world. He saved me, brought me out of darkness into the light so that he can send me back into the darkness as light. Right. Oh, that's awesome, right? That's awesome. To me, that's like, that's what he's saying. So all we have to do is just kind of like reverse that just a little bit. Really simple to do. Jesus is saying, I think he's saying this, not of the world to go into the world, sent as light. That's really what we're called to be and to do. So yes, there is, and Jesus is very clear on this. We are not to be of the world, like the world, doing the thing that the world does, but we are not to regard the world as though it's something that we're to, our mission isn't to remove ourselves from it. It's kind of like this. I say this and I'll say it publicly. And I believe it needs to be spoken from every pulpit. Our longing to see Jesus return needs to be about longing to see Jesus. Amen. Amen? Yes. That's what it needs to be about. Not just so that he can get us out of this mess that we're in. I'm serious, and I mean that. And that's just a hard examination of, if I just want to see Jesus, if I want this to end just so I can get out of it, then I think that we've missed it, the whole point of even Jesus' prayer here for us. Because then all we're doing is saying, Lord, just rescue me. Save me from this miserable, wretched place that we are stuck in. In other words, it's like we're saying, well, yeah, I'm in here, but you know, my mission is just simply just to stay as clean as possible, stay as right as possible, stay as focused as possible until the end comes or until he calls me home. I got to tell you, that sounds like a little bit of a miserable Christian life because it is. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. It's discouraging. It's disheartening. And the purpose is missed. And if we're just called to be out of it, then I think we miss it. But man, when we fall in love with Jesus and we say, Jesus, I long for you to come because I want to see you. I want to be in your presence. That longing to see Jesus return for the sake of seeing Jesus is the purity of a Christ-centered heart. Amen? Let's long for that. If it's not there in you, ask God to give it to you. God wants to give that to you. If you just ask Him for it, that's really cool too. Oh, praise the Lord. I had a whole bunch of notes on that whole subject. I'm just going to move on, and you know, it might get short here. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Well, because that was, to me, it was. Amen. Amen. Emphasize again, Paul emphasized it in Romans 12, 2, which we can go there really quick. Book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, one that's quoted quite often. It says, "And I do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Again, that brainwashing idea. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how am I, as a disciple of Jesus, supposed to live not of this world while I live right smack in the middle of it? Isn't that the challenge? Isn't that the... So I'm going to tackle these three most common ways which we as Christians handle this idea, this thought. You guys with me for a minute? Just a little bit longer, really, I promise. A little bit longer. Then we're going to worship the Lord again. Questions, thoughts, comments, please bring it, and let's talk about it. Three most common ways we handle this is, the first one is this: we circle the wagons. Circle the wagons, right? What's that mean? What's that look like? Huh? Here, I'll build a wall. Right? I'm not running for president. But build a wall. That's what it means. When we circle the wagons, we build a wall. We build a wall around us and don't let anything in that's not good or of God. We build this huge wall and a barrier. And basically, so basically what I do is I don't do this. I don't do that. I quit watching. Man, and I gotta make sure I research every organization and businesses that's out there. And if they have anything that is anti-God, I am not going to support them. In other words, you know, so I definitely don't go to Disneyland. I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch ABC, NBC. Let's see, where else can I mean, I gotta make my stance firm. I gotta build the wall. Again, I'm not running for president. Please. So circling the wagons, it can paint an appearance. Follow me on this, because I want us to understand this. It can paint an appearance of righteous living. Hello? It does. But it has its flaws. So where are its flaws? And as we tackle these flaws, I'm going to get to a point that you got to follow me all the way to the end, okay? So stick with me all the way to the end. And like I kind of forewarned you at the beginning of this series, some of these things that we're going to tackle and deal with, they just might rub you a little bit wrong, because you're thinking, that's how I think. And if it is how you think, that's... Well, only if it's in accordance with how God says for us to think. You understand? So let's be careful about that. I'm going to try to tell you, if it's just my opinion, I'll let you know. If it's what the Bible says, we'll let you know. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 20, because it's he kind of breaks it down for us a little bit on that this concept. Colossians chapter 2. I hope I marked it in my Bible. Oh, there it is. What's the flaw of building a wall? Putting up all these rules and regulations and things that we put into our life that we say we can't do, we can't touch, we can't taste, we can't go there, we can't do this, we can't watch this, we can't listen to this, we can't let anybody in, anything in that is not of God. Now that sounds really wise, right? And it sounds righteous. It sounds like a righteous standard that we should live by as Christians, especially when we're in light of being in the world but not of the world, so to speak, which I'm going to try to change that phrase by the time I'm done with this service today. Yes.
I feel you limit yourself on who you can reach.
Well, if you do build a wall, what are you putting up?
A barrier.
That's one of the things that you're putting up, is a barrier, not only to how you can reach, but who can reach you. Hello? So let's go on. I'm going to read this passage of scripture. Because here it is, if we put up a wall or a barrier against people and their ideals, sounds real popular to do right now, against people and their ideals, here's what we do. We put up a barrier against people that God loves just as he loved you when you were on the outside looking in. Hello? Ooh, that just got a little bit snippy, didn't it? And here's what it will create, though. And this is, I think, one of the things that this has created. People will see that barrier. And so instead of seeing God, who desires to have an intimate relationship with them, they see people calling themselves Christians who are making them as an enemy and putting them on the outside of their little club. Hello? Right? When we put up a barrier, when we build a wall, when we circle the wagons and say, we can't allow this, we can't allow... Now, I'm really careful here because you might say, well, Eric, you're crossing. You might get really close. So what are we supposed to do? Just let everything in? Hold on a second. Follow me to the end. Trust me on this one. Because even in this passage in Colossians chapter 2, he kind of speaks of it very, very closely, precisely, actually. Starting in verse 20. Now I'm actually going to read till verse chapter 3:3. It says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, isn't it interesting? He's calling these basic principles of the world as worldly. So when we put rules and regulations and barriers in our life, he's saying that's a principle of the world. And wait, isn't our objective to be of the world, not of the world, going into the world? So what he's saying is, the irony of it is almost laughable, if you will, that when we are attempting to be not of the world, and we put rules to keep people that are not like us out from our club, we are being more like the world than trying to be
not of the world.
Not of the world. There you go. Thank you for finishing that thought. That was there, just didn't come out. That's good. Thank you. Yeah. So it is a principle of the world. It said, why as though living in the world do you subject yourselves to the regulations that do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed, they have an appearance of wisdom in their self-imposed religion, their false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Amen. I say amen. Hallelujah. Okay, very good. So you can see the flaw in circling the wagons as a perspective to say, how do we live not of the world going into the world? See, I'm changing the phrase so that we don't say it like that any longer. If you say it the other way, that's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to get smited. Second perspective that I believe that we take as Christians is the one that is becoming more popular. In fact, if you take this perspective, you can build a mega church. It's real easy to do. Is you blend in. You look like the world. You look like the world. I don't know about you guys. I love mega church worship. It's attractive. I do. Don't you guys like it? Yeah. I like it. It's like the and I'm just serious. I do. The reason I like it, though, is because the enormity of God's people worshiping God together is awesome. It is an awesome thing when God's people worship God in unison, and it's so powerful. It really is. Amen? Amen. But there's this thing an issue that I kind of have is when, you know, I remember going to, it was a long time ago. I'm just not a concert goer anymore. I don't know why. But I've been to a few concerts. Neil Diamond was one of my favorites to go to whenever he was in town. I think we all went as a big group, you know, he had a lot of lights, it'd be dark in there, and there'd be lights and strobes and flashes and stuff going on and stuff. And man, I tell you, if you go to a mega church nowadays, it looks just like that. It's identical to a secular concert. Lights and flashes and strobes, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. I don't know. It's a blending in if I've ever seen a blending in. And that's just, okay, I will, that was my opinion.
Amen.
That was my opinion. Yeah. That's okay. And thank you. But here's the way that is. Here's the real rub that I want us to see and I want us to hear in this. Okay, and I'm not. Believe me, if Mike started trying to do some funky lights going on, I probably would say, I would probably say, sorry, brother, we just can't go that route. I just don't see the need in that. So I'm not saying that out of jealousy that they have the money to do it. I just don't see it as necessary to bring in the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's how it blends in a way that is, I think, is against what I believe God is wanting to do in us as Christians, and especially in this, in light of the phrase, "Not of the world, sent into the world," is this. We'll attempt to look like the lost in order to save the lost. And in that attempt, we lose the real mission, which is to glorify our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. When we forget about lifting up Jesus so that we can look like the lost, to bring in the lost, we miss the mission. Amen? Here's one that is really popular right now. In fact, it's Hello Human Kindness, right? It looks like, because here's the popularity in it. And I let's just hit it right out in the open. It looks like this emotional good thing to do, and it is, to be kind to humans, to be gentle, to be thoughtful, to be considerate. But when we do it for the sake of humanism and not for the sake and the glory of Jesus the Christ, not for giving Him the glory, then we miss the mission. And I'm not bagging on people that are kind and pay it forward and do good things. We all ought to do that. We ought to be front runners in that as Christians. Amen? We should be the best at it. We should be the best at it. And we should be doing it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And I could share it because it's noted public, but there's a popular preacher, Tony Campolo, his very own son, Bart Campolo, has left Christianity for the sake of this one very thing. And it's like he said, I saw that humans outside of Christianity were nicer and kinder and more thoughtful and considerate than those that were in Christianity. So therefore, now I am no longer calling myself a Christian. Instead, I call myself a secular humanist, not an atheist. That's a totally different thing. A secular humanist that advocates human kindness. And he's a front runner in that. And he's a preacher's son because he saw in the church the lack of it, the missing, how it was missing. And he saw human beings that were not Christians being kinder, gentler, more thoughtful, more considerate than those who called themselves Christians. And that's the way. So with all that inside of that whole message of blending in, our goal is to, you know, he said it in this way. I'm going to go to a couple of scriptures, actually. Let's just go there. Because here, when Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to just go there really fast because it really does shed some light on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, start there. Listen to this. This is really fantastic. It really is. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ." Now that's a deep one in there. That one I'm going to let Blake handle that one Sunday morning. Yeah, he doesn't realize it or not yet. Where'd he go? Oh, he's teaching. So, reread that.
Yes.
Okay. verse 21. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. That's really deep. I'm serious. That's so deep. It's like, whoa! I better put on a life preserver because I'm going to drown in the deep end. Verse 22. He says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak." And I have become all I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, not for human kindness' sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, they have discipline. In other words, it's not just a free-for-all. Like, whoo, get to do what I want. Yay, woohoo, yep. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty that I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, you know, air boxing. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In other words, I'll sum it up in Eric's words is what Paul is saying here is, I am called to be good, do good to all people at all times for the sake of the gospel, to bring glory to Jesus. If I don't do it to bring glory to Jesus, and if I do it till I look good so that I am running a race, that is a wrong race. You understand that? In other words, I'm running in a way that is, I'm cheating. And when I get to the end, I'll be disqualified because I didn't run the race correctly. Running the race correctly is doing all things for the glory of Jesus. Every good deed you do, every kind thought, and everything that you are involved in helping people, loving people, praying for people, it needs to all be done for Jesus' sake. Hello? That's what he's saying is, you know, or else I'm doing it for no reason. I'm just like a fighter boxing the air. Ooh, looks, you know, and that looks silly, unless you're training or something. Still looks silly, huh? Amen? We need to be about Jesus, doing it for Jesus. In fact, Jesus said it in this way, Matthew 6:13. Let's go there. Matthew 6:13. Is that right? Or was it 5? Yeah. Nope, I was wrong. Matthew 5:13. That's where it's at. Matthew 5. I wrote down the wrong verse. Says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So blending in is not an option. Not entirely. Because Paul even said, I become all things to all men so that I may win some. So there is an element of connecting with people without blending in with people. Do you understand that? With the culture. And that's what I want us to get to. By the time we get to the end of this, my prayer is that we'll have a better understanding and be able to walk out of here and say, okay, Lord, that's my objective. This week, it's my objective, is to be not of the world, sent into the world. Not of the world, sent into the world. Amen. Third perspective that a lot of us take as Christians is we lay down the law. Lay down the law. And what's that look like? And it's an approach that sees the world and its ideals as needing to be defeated. Needing to be defeated. We as Christians got to put our stance, and we got to stand tall, we got to stand strong, and we got to let everybody know that if you don't do things by God's way, then you are going to hell and of the devil, right? Hello? It's this perspective that says, if you don't think like me, if you don't look like me, if you don't dress like me, then you are not right. And it's an ideal that we lay down the law. It's got to be this way or the highway, right? So does that sound good? No. Does it sound attractive?
No.
Okay, are we to attract people? Are we to be salt and light? Are we to blend in then? It's a challenge, isn't it? Yes. Absolutely. Who wants that? Who wants that?
Only if I'm on the right side.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But of course, it's whatever side you're on is the right side. Hello? I mean, I'm serious, and I love Glenn. He always said that. You know, he uses this as a, but it's true. It's how we think. I'm the one that's in balance. Everybody else is out of balance. I mean, that's my perspective, amen. Right? I mean, so I'm the one on the right side. Well, okay, let's just break it down for a second. I'm just going to get really real. Doesn't it surprise you sometimes when you think, man, how could they think that?
Yes.
How do they as liberals go that route and think that it's right? How do they think that that is the okay way to live? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a room that we probably, most of us think that way. Hello? If you're not, you probably keep to yourself really quiet. Don't, huh? Are you guys with me? Did I just lose everybody? Okay. All right, David.
Okay, so I turned this upside up. World is still upside down.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the situation.
Yeah, so what is our approach then in laying down the law, so to speak? Is there a place for that? Here's what I want us to show. There's a verse. I got a verse to back all this up. Romans chapter 2, because to me it's a really good verse. It's a really good one. It's one that God has been just like burning in my spirit for probably about a month now, this passage, this small portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 2, but I kind of give you a little bit of backtrack. In Romans chapter 1, it's this place where Paul is sharing about the wrath of God and how people, when they choose to live this life that is ungodly, how God gives them over to a depraved mind, you know, where women will lust after women and men after men, and they worship the creature as opposed to the creator, and all these things, and they make these choices. And God is saying that God's wrath will not be withheld from those that choose this life, that choose that line of thinking. But then he goes on and he says this, and this is, I love how Paul does this. You know, Paul gets very real. He's writing to Christians, and he says this in Romans chapter 2. Basically, he's saying, okay, you as Christians now, don't use that word that I just spoke as ammunition to damn people to hell. That's my words that Paul says here. He says, therefore, you, I'm going to read verse 1, you are inexcusable, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. What? I don't think like that. I don't think like them. Right? Isn't that first thing? That's the first thing when I read that. It's like, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? But then he goes on and he says this. He says, but we know that the judgment of God is in according to truth against those who practice such things. In other words, God sees clearly. God sees the heart. He sees the thoughts, the intents of your mind. He sees things exactly as they are, even in you and I. Even in the person that does not think like you and has ideals that are totally different than us. When I say us, be careful about that because it's not a us against them. But because somebody has a different ideal, be careful. Be careful to cast them away and aside as though they are, now they're, oh boy, they're against God now. They're standing in judgment. God knows each and every person's thoughts of their heart. Let God handle them. Let God deal with them. What is our call? Listen to this. And this is the verse that I told you has been like just like ringing loud almost everywhere I go. Verse 3 says, and do you think this, oh man? That's like it like spoke directly to me. You who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and his long suffering, not knowing that it's the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God that led you to repentance? Isn't the same goodness, kindness, patience, and love going to lead others to repentance? Do not make yourself an enemy against those who God loves. Hello? Come on. Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that what he's saying there? Hello? Yes, go ahead.
God just spoke that to me like 3 days ago when I was doing it at work. I was like, because of, you know, my ex-wife and the hurt, the tattoos and the piercings and stuff like that has turned me off completely. And it bothers me a lot. And the Lord said, in this world that we're in, because everybody is so free to show off what they have, I'm showing you that some of these people, a lot of these people, are because they're hurt, because they're damaged, because they're scared, and that's how they show it off. I'm giving you an opportunity to see that so you can jump towards them and not away from them.
Amen.
These people are giving you a free sign saying, I'm damaged. Yeah. I'm broken. I need what you have. And now it jacked me up, but it changed everything. To where
Amen.
I need to reach out to these people. God is giving me a free opportunity to see that they need him more. And it's like now I'm trying to reach out and talk to them twice as much instead of being like, and having my bad attitude that I have. And my, Amen. You know, disgust. It's just lifted so much to reach out and love these people because I was terrible.
Amen.
You know,
And I think that almost everybody in this room could say at one point in given time in their life, we were just as terrible. I mean, I was just as judgmental and harsh towards people that, you know, wore their pants down to the ground. They don't do that anymore. It's not so popular as much anymore because it's lost its lure. But it's, you know,
that was skinny jeans. I don't get it.
But here's the thing is, and aren't you seeing though the perspective of what I feel like the Lord is wanting us to come to a place of freedom. to express and to reveal the authentic, genuine love of Jesus to people's lives, man. I mean, really. I mean, and Brian said it exactly true. There isn't anybody that does not need the love of Jesus. The people that need it the most are the ones that are screaming the loudest.
Yeah. You can't take that too far the other way with the whole Bible and the gun theory, you know? Jesus is like
Jesus. Some would differ, the ones that aren't in this room today, where are they at today? They needed to hear that. There's a few that I think have posted that kind of stuff on Facebook. Yes, Reb.
Just saying the city of Lincoln was going to put in an adult bookstore and concerned for the safety of our wives, daughters, and the community. So you want to go speak up at city council meeting.
That's a good question, because
to lay out your values for the safety of your family.
Amen.
Coming across as judgmental.
Combative or judgmental or amen. And I like that. Rebbit asked, how do we balance that? How do we, when we know that there's things that are absolutely opposed to the Word of God, not just the Word of God, but even morality as a whole, you know, how do we balance that? How do we do that? That's the question, right? That's the question we started with. How do we live outside? How do we do, as Jesus said, be not of the world, but yet live right smack in the middle of it. And not only smack in the middle of it, but be a light in the middle of it. Wow, that's awesome. And I think there's a simple answer to that question, but it's not easy. Go ahead.
I want to kind of piggyback on what you said. There's something with a teen, I see it with my own girl. That's really popular. It's questioning, you know, why the church is opposed to homosexuality. Homosexuals are also people. And, you know, why is this separation, this condemnation? And that's a hard question as a parent. It's not, and that, you know, I tell them, you know, not that we're being judgmental. We're, you know, casting the first stone, right? But
it is a, you know, I know that is a subject right smack in the middle of a lot of issues. Homosexuality. You know, I got to tell you that there's one that bothers me, and it should ought to bother us as Christians even more, and that's just flat out abortion. I mean, I know, because, and yeah, you know, Rob, every time I bring it up, Robin's like, oh, you got to be careful. There's people in our church that have had, it's like, well, I know that. There's people in, I am a people in our church that has sinned. Hello? And there's been a Savior that gave his life to forgive me and cleanse me of that sin. Not so that I can say, oh, it's taboo. We don't talk about that sin. No, Jesus paid for that sin. And that is a devastating sin. When you look at what Jesus' passion for children was, I mean, Jesus dealt with children. His love and his passion for children, it blows my mind. Way more than the issue of homosexuality, even that. I mean, Jesus only touched on it a couple of different ways. You know, it was kind of one of those obvious things. It's like, hello, yeah. But our love for children needs to be one of the most passionate things that we need to be about. And it's, you know, am I advocating getting on some sort of, you know, committee or something? No, not at all, unless God, the Holy Spirit does. And that's what I want us to get down to. I think it's a simple question, the simple answer to the question that we have through this is, I believe it's this, is the Lord is calling us as disciples in Jesus, disciples of Jesus, this very simple phrase, to be a faithful presence empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere and at all times. You hear what that's? I'm going to reread that again and re-say it. Is to be a faithful, and that means authentic, genuine. That means integrity? Integrity is this, and I love the word simply because it's this. It's where your words line up with who you actually are. Being a faithful presence empowered by the Holy Spirit everywhere at all times. That's so simple. That's what we're called to do as Christians, as disciples of Christ. Is that easy? Absolutely not. Because here's what it's calling us, each and every one of us, to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit when we are to speak up, when we are to simply to pray for our enemy, when we are to somebody that opposes us. There are times that we must speak. We must share truth into people's lives lovingly. There are times that we must go over to City Hall and say, no, this is not okay. Absolutely. I'm there quite frequently. I am. Not because I'm raising a ruckus. Amen.
You have to have a relationship with the hope with the Lord and with people.
Amen.
And then you lay out what God is trying to get across to people and you share it in that love relationship.
That's a relationship with Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit. Not so intent on building a wall, blending in, is fighting the right fight. Man, if we get caught up in that, it's really confusing. And man, it's a lot of work, and I got to tell you this, what else it is? It's damaging to your testimony, and it makes us Christians look bad when we do those things that are not of God, not led by the Spirit, right? And I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of fighting a fight that isn't a spiritual fight. It was a fight against another person, another human being that God loves. And it never promotes the gospel, doesn't promote God's love. I've been guilty of blending in, trying to look cool, trying to look like the world, trying to look to where I'd be accepted by the world. I've been guilty of that. Amen. Amen. I've also been guilty of building a wall, putting a hedge and saying, don't look at that, don't touch that, don't look. And I think that every single one of those, and listen to this, as we walk, I wrote this down because it was too good in my mind and spirit this morning, so I had to write it down. When we walk in the Spirit, we won't need to hide from the world, but we won't allow it to influence us. When we walk in the Spirit, we won't need to hide from it, but we won't allow it to influence us.
And we need to deal with that the same way with our children.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's so good. So true. And teach them by showing them how to do that, right? Again, I'm going to hit these three things. I'm going to reiterate them. Go ahead.
Well, the whole thing with the not of this world and in the world, I put my wall up because I was so much influence. Mm-hmm. And I was so afraid of Satan and his power on and every aspect. You can't have that, can't have this. Nope, we don't let that in the house. And I was so afraid. But what the Lord revealed to me was, why don't you give me the glory? Why don't you give me the power instead of giving Satan the power? I have power over all of that. Amen. And what you're doing is you're focusing on the wrong thing. I'm focusing on Satan so much instead of the glory of God and what he can do in my life.
Amen.
And the power that he has if I draw into that.
And you said it, very openly and clearly, as most of us identified with, I was afraid. Therefore, I walked by fear instead of by faith. And when we walk by fear instead of by faith, it's almost identical as walking in the flesh as opposed to walking in the Spirit. We will make reactions and we will make judgments and assessments and we'll do things that we walk in that fear. We do. We put walls. We put barriers. We buy guns. We do this. We do that. We, do things that we, to protect ourselves. When God's saying, go.
Oh, this is a rabbit trail, I think. We just, a couple weeks ago, completed the study with John Bevere,
yeah.
On fear of God. Now, it occurs to me that the fear we have in the flesh is a counterfeit to what we're actually supposed to have.
Amen. Yeah.
Fear and awe and respect of God.
Yes.
So if we're sidetracked by the counterfeit of fear, of the terror that seems to come against us, we are not being in fear of God, in reverence of God, who has all the power.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I'm not against doing things to protect yourself and being wise, you know, locking your doors. I like guns a lot. I don't own any, but I would if I could, and maybe there's things that I don't own a gun to defend myself, but I like guns. I do. I'm a guy. I like stuff like that. I like fishing and guns and arrows and bows and baseballs and bats and stuff that, you know, and sports stuff. I like stuff that's like that. To me, that's very fun and enjoyable, and I don't think it's evil to own a gun. And we're not advocating just keep your doors unlocked and say, well, I'm not living by fear. I'm just trusting God. And it's like, no, that's just kind of stupid. I mean, you know, it's doesn't work out that well. So anyway, with all that though, I'm going to reiterate the 3 points of circling the wagons, blending in, and laying down the law in light of being a faithful presence empowered by the Holy Spirit everywhere at all times. So when we walk in the Spirit, we won't need to hide from the world, but won't allow it to influence us. Are those jingle bells going on over there somewhere? Holy man. Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't something spiritual that I was just hearing. And everybody else hears it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. Gosh, we keep getting distracted, don't we? This is so much fun. Man, they're getting louder. Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay, walking in the Spirit, we won't look like the world, but instead we will shine in it by the light of Jesus. Hello? When we walk in the Spirit, we won't look like the world, but instead we will shine in it by the light of Jesus. See, Jesus has called us out of darkness into the light so that we can be light to go back into the darkness. Do you hear that? That's so cool. Really? Really? That was a good one, man. Jesus has pulled us out of darkness into the light so that we can be light going back into the darkness. Okay, the last one is this. Walking by the Spirit will empower you to love those who oppose you instead of demoralizing them. Yeah, that's what the church needs to be too. We don't need to just prove everybody wrong because they're not like us. Come on.
So the things that glow, like the t-shirts they make, the stars that you put on your roof, okay, they cannot shine bright without light. If they're in darkness for a couple hours, they are dark. When you grab it, you throw it up to the light, and you go into the bathroom, and bam, all up in your face. So we must stay close to the light on a consistent basis.
Amen.
So we can shine bright in the darkness. Without being, if we're out of the light into the darkness, we will be dark.
Amen. And that is a primary purpose of just going to church, being around brothers and sisters, loving each other, encouraging each other, blessing each other, praying for each other. Amen. So again, I'm just going to say it, and we are not of this world, but we are sent into the world. We are not of the world, but we're sent into it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you for your love for us. Again, your love, your kindness, your goodness, your patience is truly what leads us to your repentance. Reveals to us who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to be light, to be salt. We thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of loving those who are unlovable or difficult to love. We thank you for those opportunities that we'll have this week. Pray that we would notice them. We'd recognize them as an opportunity to shine for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us as your children to be your hands and feet, to be salt and light in a dark and a dying world. We give you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Christ, all the glory. Amen. Amen.